What about radioimmune therapy? You've mentioned that a couple of times. Anything happened recently in terms of clinical research that oncologists might want to hear about? And also in terms of the non-protocol use of these strategies, what's new?
Most of the studies recently have been kind of extensions of phase two trials. We've kind of moved past single agent radioimmunotherapy, I think largely in the relapse setting. Mark Kaminsky's looked at I-131, tocilizumab, or Bexxar up front, and we've seen that presented at various places. But most of the data that we're seeing now coming out has been kind of phase two trials, looking at chemo combinations, largely in indolent lymphoma, some in aggressive lymphoma, our chemo followed by radioimmunotherapy. And I think these studies all have suggested that you can do these combinations, that they have acceptable toxicity, that they have high response rates, but they're all incorporating chemo regimens that have high response rates as well. And so obviously the challenge will be to do randomized trials to say our chemo versus our chemo followed by RIT. Really, the main trial that I think is going to answer that question or look at that question in one scenario is the SWOG-CLGB trial of CHOP-R versus CHOP followed by Bexxar as initial treatment of follicular lymphoma. Ali Press mentioned at this meeting that that trial, which is in the ballpark of 300 to 400 patients, has only about 45 more patients to accrue. So we should have that accrued relatively soon. Obviously, it'll take some time before we have the outcome data. But I think that's going to be the principal trial that's done anytime soon that will give us an answer on kind of the chemo or our chemo versus RIT consolidation after chemo. And that, I think if that's a positive trial, that has implications for large cell lymphoma, for mantle cell lymphoma, and other areas. That certainly, and I think most clinicians would agree, the idea that we have good therapies, but using the RIT as a consolidation to extend remission or to hopefully cure the patient is of some value.
I never quite understood why in the RIT arm, it wasn't CHOP-R followed by RIT.
Yeah, I think it's a good question, and I think if that was designed today, it probably would be designed that way. I think if that's a positive trial, some people may just extrapolate to that. I think that there was relatively little data of RIT after rituximab containing chemotherapy or rituximab at all. And actually, Ali Press did briefly present some preclinical data that provided a little bit of a hint. The concern is if you have rituximab circulating from the CHOP-R at the time you give the RIT, that's going to block out the radiolabeled antibody. And he presented just in a slide or two some data suggesting that that might be the case, and we don't know for sure. One might argue that if you were going to do that strategy, let's say if you're giving six cycles of CHOP-R, maybe you'd give R-CHOP the first four and then CHOP alone so you kind of clear the rituximab before you're coming in with a radioimmunotherapy. So that's been, the principal reason to avoid any interference of the unlabeled rituximab with the radiolabeled antibody.